Hello and welcome to my podcast on photography. My name is Ewan Bell. This series started life as a YouTube vlog, but you can now listen to each episode here as a podcast as well. If you would like to watch the YouTube version, just head to my website or search for me on YouTube. I love getting comments from listeners and especially love getting inspiration from your questions. Thanks for joining me today. Today we're talking about reality in photography and whether photographers have been striving for reality any more than AI has. I posted a video about AI recently and one of the comments that I got back was from David, and he has some good points. David is involved in running an international competition and it doesn't sound like he does any actual judging, but I'm sure he has some thoughts. We all have thoughts about what makes good photography. And anyone who has watched my channel will know that I'm not a fan of judging photography. I think I'm not very well placed to judge because I fundamentally don't believe in the process of scoring a single photograph. That's just not the headspace that I come into photography. I don't like ranking things. I don't like putting a number to something. Photography to me is a conversation. It's not about numbers. It's not about rankings. And it's intimate and it's personal. And your experience of a photograph is going to be different to mine. And that's the whole point. That's the joy of it. So judging photography, I kind of have a problem with to begin with. It's just, that's just not where my head goes. So David's point is that I shouldn't feel so bad about AI getting involved because AI is trying to make images that look real and photographers are trying to make images that don't. I'll be honest, David, I'm not sure this makes me feel better at all. I can relate to where David's coming from here. I genuinely can. And I don't like this space. I'm not comfortable in this space. I like photography as an act of expression. I don't like comparing. I don't like scoring. I don't like saying one person is better than another. This fundamentally just doesn't work for me. I can't say I've found myself drawn to the process of these competitions either. Whether it's an international event, whether it's something sponsored by a camera brand. One of the reasons I struggle with photography competitions is because I've seen what travel companies do when they run a competition and the clauses in the entrance are that they get to use anything you enter. Not just the ones that wins, but they get to use what enters. And so it's just a way for them to get free photos to put in their brochure. There's something about that that is just so cheap and so disrespectful. That's not the sort of travel company that I would want to travel with. But also, a lot of events are simply there to promote a brand, and I get why that works, and I get that's good for the brand, and that if you didn't have brands who are trying to promote themselves and run events, then maybe you wouldn't have as many competitions and people wouldn't get all these prizes. Even in the optimum situation, I think about really good people, lots of really good people doing really good work. We're never going to see a prize because not everyone's going to get a prize. It's like, there's just a couple of prizes and there's going to be tens of thousands of people entering. Good stuff's not going to win. Even if you assume that the judging is fair and not biased. When I say fair, I mean, how can you have a neutral standard for judging? Like, you've got to be coming at it from a perspective. I just don't think there is a neutral standard for judging. Whereas camera clubs, the argument is you're doing these competitions in order to get feedback, in order to improve your craft. I get that. I think there are better ways to improve your craft, as per the video that I made last year where I talk about that. The problem I see here is photography being made to look unreal, real photography. It's an issue I've seen when I've gone to camera clubs and they'll have a division, say, that is for digital art. And at least they call it digital art. They say, this is digital art. It's not the same as photography. It's images that are compound and amassed together and manipulated. And that's great. I think having that as a specific genre or a specific division, that makes sense. It's when you don't have a line between digital and real, this is where you have an issue. And how much manipulation is reasonable? How much can you manipulate an image before it's no longer a photograph. If we're shooting with raw files and we have incredible amounts of detail, we have layers of detail being captured by those sensors, and we're using our tools to distinguish which components of the raw file we're going to bring to the front. This is like taking 10 photos and choosing which elements come together. So is a raw file manipulating an image? You can see it's very, very easy to get caught in the weeds here. And I gotta say, I got a feel for a lot of people who have been exploring this outer edge of photography where they're stepping into digital art and they're taking like a series of images specifically to build into something different. And suddenly this craft that they've been honing for years or maybe a decade or more is just being scooped up by AI. They're right at that front line between reality and generative. Digital art works really well when it's really, really obvious, when you are entirely immersed in the fact that it's not real. It's when something pretends to be real and it isn't. That is always my issue. And I think that's where both digital art and AI come together. For the people who are doing digitally manipulated photography and calling it photography and passing it off and not actually saying it's digital art, that's just as bad as AI. It seems like it's a lot more work to create digital art and pass it off as being a real shot than it is to just do it with AI. Or maybe AI is not good enough yet. I don't know. David makes the point that he is using AI tools to touch up his photos. And I think it's the marketing people calling them AI. I don't think there's an LLM involved in just being able to apply some adjustments to an image. I think the companies are just putting AI, the name, on everything because the marketing people told them this is how you sell stuff. I don't have much of an issue with using a tool within Capture One, say, to clone out something or heal or to do some generative infill, you know, where you're cleaning up the corners on something. I don't have a big deal with that. To me, that's just like cropping, or you're cloning out something that, you know, just a touch up. If you're dropping in an entire sky, right there, I'm going to have a line. Because you're not just touching up something. You're not just correcting a little blemish. You're basically reinterpreting the entire scene in a landscape, say, and you're dropping in a brand new sky. And that feels very, very different. That feels substantive. There's a certain fellow who I really like as a person, and he's probably going to be watching this at some point. And he knows that I don't care for some of the skies I've seen him drop into his shots. And one of the things for me is I felt it cheapened his work. I felt it really clashed with the idea of taking a better photograph. He wasn't presenting a better photograph. He's actually presenting a worse one because he was presenting something that just didn't seem to work. It was the wrong sky. The clouds weren't the right clouds for that elevation. Now, he would argue that he took the other photo of the other sky. So he's taken all the photographs. It's still his work. Most of the tools out there don't make that distinction. They're just like, what kind of sky would you want? How many clouds do you want? Let's just create some puffy clouds over Arizona versus some sort of katabatic winds over Antarctica. What kind of sky do you want? There's a wide range of ways that AI tools can help you as a photographer. One of the wedding photographers I know uses an AI tool to do a quick cull through everything he shot on the day and to flag the images that just aren't sharp. So that just makes him more productive. And I can see the argument for that. I can see the point in that. There are people who are editing their YouTube videos. Someone was telling me about a tool that they really love where they just send in the clip and it will do all the cuts and take out the pauses. So you just get a nice smooth audio recovery. Not sure about that either. I'm not sure. There's something about that that feels wrong. The pauses are important. That's part of the character, how we pause and slow down and speed up. I remember I was doing a podcast and I'd hired a guy to do my audio engineering on it, and he ran it through some kind of tool that, you know, cut out the pauses and such, and it sounded horrible. I didn't want to listen to it. I couldn't listen to it. It was abrasive. Because if you take out those human factors, I think that's an issue. For photography, the time you spend seeing the mistakes in your photos, that's how you're going to learn to not make those mistakes. That is going to make you a better photographer. So by getting an AI tool to do a sweep through and hide the mistakes, that's not going to help you be a better photographer. It'll help you to deliver whatever you're going to deliver to the client that day. It'll save you time, but I don't think it'll make you a better photographer. So it's clear that David enjoys what he does with this particular event and being a part of the organization and getting a bunch of photography out there. He does have a warning for us though, that reality of photography is that it's getting less real all the time. And that's coming from the human side, not just the digital. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you've got a question or idea for something we can talk about, drop me a line, and I hope you have a great day.